Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Open Systems Publishing webcast. Today we're going to talk about the Service Availability Forum, the next steps. My name is Joe Pavlot. I'm working here today for Open Systems Publishing, and I'll be moderating this event. Just a little bit of housekeeping as we go through the slide set. You can post questions. You'll see a little box in the lower left corner of your screen that allows you to post a question. Those will be added sequentially to the question list, and then after the formal presentations, we'll have a Q&A session. The goal is to get through all the presentations in the Q&A in 1 hour. High availability, which is a function of the Service Availability Forum, high availability is an important feature of next-generation computer systems that must continue to operate even in the event of a hardware failure. HA software has historically been proprietary, but emerging open standards are being developed and are gaining wide industry support. Today's speakers represent the leading organization dedicated to developing open standards for high availability software, the Service Availability Forum. We've got three very qualified speakers with us today. John Fryer, who's on the board of directors of the SA Forum and is also director of technology marketing at Motorola. John Kenton, who's the marketing workgroup chair of the SA Forum and also from Motorola. And Asif Nassim, who's on the board of directors of the Service Availability Forum. And they'll be making the formal presentations today. So the agenda is basically going to go like this. We're going to talk about the introduction to the SA Forum. Talk about industry adoption of the HPI specification, the EIS specification, implementation experiences, and then we'll get into Q&A. So again, anytime during the presentation, you can enter a question by hitting the button on the lower left side of your screen, and that question will be added to the list, and we'll answer them at the end. So without any further delay, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, John Kenton.
Thank you very much, Joe, and hello, everybody. As Joe said, we're going to cover a number of different areas as it relates to the Service Availability Forum and the market for such technology as we progress through these slides today. Where we'd like to begin is just with a couple of slides of background, and then we're going to insert a little poll question. So to begin with, we're looking at what's happening in the industry. Overall, what has been occurring is a change from a very horizontal structured industry where companies tended to do everything from soup to nuts. They would integrate software, hardware, build components at a lower level in order to produce their end product. What tends to happen more these days and is accelerating all the time is different companies and different vendors are supplying different core elements, and ultimately these are being combined into a total platform at the end, and it is the application that tends to be the main focus of the integration work at the top level that produces the end result. What is happening here is that key standards are now required at the interface points between these different levels in order to make sure that they all work nicely together. And to help facilitate this move from a more proprietary and horizontal to a more standards-based system. At this point, we want to ask you so that we can help to gear some of the discussion that we're going to have today, how much you know about the SA Forum. You should see on your screen a slide which asks you this question, and it's pretty simple. You just need to click one of the four boxes, either no knowledge, some knowledge, a good understanding of the SA Forum specs, or maybe you're actually an SA Forum member. If you could do that, the slide will be up here for maybe another couple of seconds, and then we'll review these in a few slides' time and go forward. Okay, hopefully you've had a chance to make your selection and click submit, so we'll move on. The Service Availability Forum have been formed for maybe 5 years now and are comprised of a group of quite diverse industry-leading companies that come from all segments and all levels of the computing and communications industry. We have network equipment providers and telecom equipment providers themselves, all the way down to actual silicon vendors, systems integrators, and the computer system vendors. And we also have a good mix of application middleware, and operating system vendors. Our mission as an organization is to build a set of specifications that can help to facilitate the creation of high availability infrastructure products. But more than just building the specifications, it is to create and promote an ecosystem of all the key players and elements that would be required in order to make such a system work together. And as such, I'm not going to run through all these companies, but you can see that that all the major players in all of the different segments of the industry are represented here, from the major telecom companies all the way down to product companies as well. So at this point, we are looking at the results of the poll, and you can see that we have a reasonable representation here of people who have some knowledge or better of the forum, and hopefully we're going to be able to increase that. And for those of you that have no knowledge, by the time we finish this, you should have had a good introduction to the forum and where we are and where we're going. The forum's value proposition provides for different elements for different of the people that we target, both in terms of our membership and the users. Overall, the ability to create systems that are made from building blocks, especially including the middleware that is creating the high availability systems, produces a more rapid time-to-market benefit, a decrease in support costs. Overall, when it's seen as the end result, is reduction in capital expenditures and operating expenditures, allows for the integration of independent software that is built to go on top or underneath the middleware, making for a much greater choice of capabilities and features that one can build in without having to rely on doing it oneself. And so whether you're a vendor in this mix, such as an ISV or an integrator or even the service provider at the end, there is something there for everybody. What I'd quickly like to run through before we get through to the discussion of the specifications themselves are the results from some surveys that we did earlier on this year, just to show you where the forum itself is perceived. First of all, we asked about whether standards-based products, given the trends we discussed earlier, are important. And not surprisingly, we found a huge number of companies responded yes to that. When discussing what the biggest benefits are, we had a validation of those values and the value propositions that we talked before. Definitely in the areas of optimizing life cycles, faster time to market, and improved equipment choice were amongst the highest. In terms of implementation, we were exceptionally encouraged to find that a large number, in this case over 50%, were actually planning on implementing SA Forum specifications themselves, or alternatively, within a two-year period, an even larger number were planning on using products that would comply with the service availability specifications. So at this point, just as an introduction to the specifications themselves, this picture is the high-level view. If we're looking at it from an application perspective, sitting on top of a platform and with the surrounding software, you'll see here that the grayed out area. In the middle, you'll see the specifications and the scope of the standards that are produced by the SA Forum. At the bottom half, we have what's called HPI, which we're going to cover in a moment, which really does the interface to the hardware platform through the operating system. At the top end, we have AIS, which is the interface to the application, which includes the configurability brought about by the availability management framework, And on the left-hand side, we have the system management interfaces. And the whole thing really encompasses high availability middleware. So with that done, I'm going to hand over to Asif, who's going to take you through HPI. Thank you, Asif.
Thank you, John. So I want to talk a little more detail about the HPI interface that John talked about, dig a little bit into the detail of what this specification is. And let me start out by pointing out the key benefit of this interface. As you can tell by the acronym, it's essentially a hardware abstraction layer, and SAForum has specified the specific APIs that provide that interface in a standard way. And to illustrate the benefit, consider that one is faced with building a cluster that includes disparate heterogeneous elements running a variety of operating systems. So we've got disparate hardware running different versions of, let's say, Linux, Solaris, VxWorks, and whatnot, any of the popular operating systems. And consider further that one is required to develop reasonable, if not sophisticated, platform management capabilities for all of the hardware elements that enter into the cluster. And that you as a developer have chosen either a commercial off-the-shelf management middleware, or you've developed your own. As you build this cluster of disparate elements, one is faced with having to interface with each individual hardware element, having to develop specific interfaces that will query the particular hardware, manage it, and present the information to the management application. Needless to say that every time you add new piece of hardware, unique piece of hardware, you have to develop those interfaces for it. The hardware has to provide those capabilities, and the middleware has to be able to interface in it. And if you have N unique platforms, you have N unique interface elements that have to be developed as part of your management middleware. And as you can see, the problem scales. And then as the hardware, underlying hardware, evolves and changes, the interfaces have to be changed to take to stay abreast of the changes in the hardware. So the portability of the management middleware becomes an issue as the hardware changes. This is where HPI can help, and it is already helping commercially, where as the hardware vendors provide the capabilities as part of their hardware, HPI provides a standard way of exposing those capabilities to the overlaying management middleware. And it's done in a standard way in which case that the management middleware does not have to be aware of what the specific hardware or software is that it's running on top of. It gets the hardware management information in a standard way, and it can incorporate that into its systems model and apply whatever management policies that it needs to. The key is that once those capabilities called the HPI libraries are provided in the hardware platforms in the standard way, the management middleware does not have to change. It does not have to provide any specific interfaces to the hardware elements, and it scales very nicely and smoothly without having to develop those unique interfaces. Furthermore, as the underlying hardware changes, all of those changes are actually abstracted from the overlaying layers because of the standard interface through which those capabilities are exposed to using application. So the overlaying management middleware can be transported across disparate hardware as they evolve without having to make any significant changes, or any changes for that matter. tremendous benefit for platform management capabilities. HPI that enables the platform independent in that way, and it provides pretty sophisticated management capabilities through that standard interface. Specifically, to mention, it is an application programming interface, which abstracts the underlying hardware from the management middleware that actually uses it. And there are two pieces to it. There's the libraries that are provided by the hardware vendor, and then there's the interface, underlying interface that's developed by the middleware provider. The specification, the HPI API specification provides us the headers that can be used by a hardware platform vendor as well as the middleware developer to facilitate their development. Now, specifically, what HPI does is it really provides discovery, management, and control of the hardware element. So it has the capability to actually enumerate what is the configuration of the underlying system. What kind of hardware is there? What different types of elements are there? Their inventory information for example, their manufacturers, the serial numbers, the vendors, the revisions, and everything that is pertinent to that particular unit to identify it as uniquely as possible. HPI has the capability to be able to automatically query that information and serve that up to the overlaying management application. For clusters, and especially for highly available systems, hot swap is a very key capability. HPI provides a good first-level capability for hot swap management. So if a element is inserted or extracted from a system, appropriate events are served up to the management application that can use it and take appropriate actions. HPI also allows for monitoring and controlling a variety of sensors and controls. So for example, if the temperature of a particular element moves beyond a threshold, either a low threshold or a higher threshold, an appropriate event is generated and sent to the application. Same thing for, let's say, voltage levels of a power supply where you want to maintain a tight control on the voltage regulation. You can define the upper and lower limit and appropriate events are generated based on that. Similarly for fan speeds and displays and whatnot. HPI also have this alarm annunciation and monitoring capabilities where depending on what kind of display capabilities a particular hardware element has, LEDs, LCDs, or other displays, it can manipulate them by annunciating alarm conditions, clearing alarm conditions, or displaying any information that needs to be displayed to the operator. Things like power on and off reset, and watchdog timers that actually run on the various hardware elements. HPI allows the ability to monitor them and control them and serve that any events and inventory information up to the overlaying application. And as I mentioned earlier, it abstracts the hardware from the management application, so the management application can be ported across multiple hardware that are HPI compliant. Now, SA Forum has further facilitated development of HPI libraries on hardware platforms by providing guidelines on how to implement HPI functions on different form factors and hardware. So for example, SA Forum this year released a guidance specification for vendors that are implementing HPI libraries on ATCA systems. The SA Forum plans to do that for the other architectures as well. By providing that guidance specification, we take one additional step to make it easier for implementers to provide HPI capabilities as part of their platforms. One additional piece at the highest level is that HPI does allow for vendor-specific extensions. So if a hardware vendor has unique capabilities that differentiate themselves from other hardware vendors, HPI has a provision where those unique capabilities, whether those be sensors or monitors or displays or different kinds of controls, HPI allows for those to be incorporated into it and then serve that information up and provide the monitoring and control capabilities for it. HPI is a specification, and I think we'll talk about the roadmap shortly, but the specification has existed and evolved over a number of years. Two major revisions of the specifications have been out there. First implementation was developed a couple of years ago, and there's been a lot of good feedback, which has been incorporated in the most recent specification. It is a commercial success. A lot of hardware vendors, and there is a partial list of the platform providers on this next slide that provide HPI capabilities. And then there's the middleware providers that are the subsumers of that interface and making sure that their middleware, management middleware, runs on top of HPI compliant hardware. And here's a partial list of those software providers that subsume the HPI interface. And then there are others. So as you can tell, HPI has been a commercial success. With this, I want to move it back to John for the next level of details on the AIS.
Thank you, Asif. This is really an overview of the application interface specification, and just like the HPI specification, the objective here is to provide a hidden environment for applications that want to become high availability, so they are very much unaware of the underlying capabilities, and also so that we have a standardized set of interfaces and mechanisms that can be used to implement high availability in both a platform and an operating system agnostic environment. So the real benefit that you get from this kind of capability at the application layer is the ability to transport much more easily than ever before an application from one operating environment to another one, whether that's from a hardware or a software perspective, or even from the characteristics and the way that it needs to operate in a high availability environment. And indeed, we have a set of services here that are the typical ones that you would expect to see if you want to implement a high availability operating type of environment. So if we go ahead and take a quick look at the core of these set of services, obviously a key aspect that we find here is cluster membership. And really, cluster membership is that set of capabilities that are bound together and operate, if you like, in a homogeneous fashion to support high availability capabilities. The cluster membership service, you know, determines whether members of the cluster are actually configured appropriately and operating appropriately in order to do that. It enables, for example, application processes to register callback functions, to receive membership change notifications so that every member of that cluster, every node within that cluster is well aware of the status of membership of the other nodes inside that capability. So leveraging this cluster-wide capability, we have another set of services on top of that. They're very typical things you would expect to see. Obviously, a checkpoint service is really there to record checkpoint data in an incremental manner. It's there to protect against failures. Clearly, the checkpoint service can be used to retrieve, you know, previous checkpoint data and resume execution from the recorded state before a failure occurs, again, across any aspect of of the cluster. And we should also point out that, you know, the concept of a cluster here is not something that's within necessarily a single unit, but the clusters could be on different nodes within the cluster. They could be distributed both locally and both geographically. So there's no real concept as to where these elements in a cluster reside and where this data is being checkpointed from a capability. The next service, the event service there, really this is a very critical service. It's a kind of publish-subscribe mechanism that's used. It enables a multi-point-to-multi-point communication capability where publishers communicate very much asynchronously with one or more subscribers. The whole point being here, and there's a definition, as you'll see, there's a slight difference between the event service and the notification service. The event service is really there to identify significant things that require action to be taken from a high availability perspective. So they could be a card failure, they could be a software process failure, they could be some element of non-response from a remote entity, for example, that mean that some action may have to be taken from a high availability perspective. Messaging service is obviously something you need. It's a buffer passing message system based on the concept of a message queue for processes. We have the concept of a single message queue that can be used for multi-point to point communication. We have the concept of being able to group message queues together so that we get a multi-point to multi-point communication. The whole point of the essence of this part of the specification is to make sure that a process is unaware of the number of message queues and the physical location of the message queues with which it's communicating. So again, everything being done to abstract and to hide the detail of the high availability structure from the application that's using those capabilities. Locking service is pretty obvious. Obviously, this again is operating in a distributed mode across the global aspect of the cluster membership in terms of protecting elements and aspects that need to be accessed within a system. And then finally, the next thing is the notification service. So the concept of a notification here is to explain an incident or a change that occurs in a system, and a change that, for example, may be reported to a management system. It may be reported to some logging or collection mechanism. So, for example, it could be an alarm that occurs within a system. It could be a state change. It could be the creation or deletion of an object. Could be a security alarm, for example. So things that are happening to a system that one needs to be aware of, management entities need to be aware of, but do not necessarily call for high availability switchover actions to occur within the side of a system. So there's a sort of subtle difference there between notification and events from that perspective. Finally, we have the concept of a logging service. And again, the forum distinguishes between the concept of logging and the concept of tracing. So the logging service is that entity which actually interfaces to administrators or automated tools or whatever that may go on there. A trace service in the concept of what the forum has is something that would be much more embedded within an implementation that would be used by a field engineer for diagnostics, for debugging a system, for determining any events or anything that's happening with the system in a live operating manner. And again, you know, the whole concept of the logging service is to base it around standards-based implementations, around, you know, ITU-type specifications for log records so that they can be extracted and exported to these mechanisms in a fairly standard way. So that's the lower set of services that we have inside AIS. And over that, we have really two very important and very, very essential aspects that come along here. First of all, for all the services that we have, we clearly have management entities that come into that, and these are expressed in the form of SNMP MIBs. So the concept of these SNMP MIBs and how they interact with other is expressed in the form of the information model that the forum has specified. And the information model management entity is a UML, it is specified in UML, is really managing the information that's in this information model. So the attributes and the administrative operations that can be performed on this are described inside the information model. And the IMM really provides APIs to create and access and manage these objects in terms of that capability. So the last piece of the entity here, and one of the things that I think is most important, and a lot of good work that the forum has done, is around the availability management framework. And really, this is the entity that takes the view of a logical cluster and all the nodes that fit into that cluster, and it provides a set of APIs to enable highly available applications, to enable the management, to determine the state of those highly available entities within the system, and monitors the health of all the components. So really, it's overviewing all the different services, all the events that are happening in the system, interacting with the information management model and the capabilities that have been defined to provide the framework under which high availability solutions can be created, and that will then enable the applications that are using these capabilities to make a determination about what they should do, what action should be taken, and how they should interface in a highly available environment. So as with HPI, the AIS specification has been developed a little bit later. It followed the initial HPI specifications. There are a number of implementations appearing in the marketplace today using this initial set of fundamental capabilities. They're from a wide range of areas, including open source projects that exist today. There are more implementations, I believe, that are on the way. So there's starting to see a fairly broad adoption throughout the industry, both from commercial implementers, open source projects, and now, as you'll see, from the adoption of these standards into products that will appear in the marketplace in the 2007 kind of time frame. So one of the questions I think that we had when we set about for this webinar is certainly it's good to see that there's a large number of people who are fairly well aware of what the forum is. We certainly see the adoption occurring with HPI, and we're starting to see that adoption in terms of AIS. But one of the key questions is, for those people who are on the webinar today, you know, are you or will you be using products or developing products that comply with the SA Forum solutions? And obviously there are three options here. Yes, you don't know, haven't really thought about it yet, need more time to do it. Or no, you're going to stick with an existing solution that you have. So we'll leave that up for a second. One thing I would like to point out is that you can submit questions into the webinar today. We'll take those at the end. Joe Pavlat, who's moderating, will hopefully have some time to address some of those. And the answers to this poll, they should appear in another two or three slides in terms of what we can see. So if we move on now, and you know, so far we focused on, and the title of this is, what are the next steps? So far we focused on where the forum is today and what's happened today. And I think one of the most important things to understand is, you know, before we move on, let's understand where we've come from and what the state of adoption is. So if we look at HPI and the adoption of that specification today, we can see in time that we've gone through a phase of specification, implementation, integration, and testing, the typical phases that you would go through for any type of a project implementation. Where we sit today is that the B-Series specifications are well adopted into the field. There are multiple implementations out there. They're actually being integrated and are moving into system-level deployment in terms of what's going on today. So we have a clear profile of the time frame that it takes for this type of standards-based specification to go from start to implementation. We move on and overlay this with the AIS types of specifications. Clearly, as I hope you can see, there's a lot more flexibility because it's a much purer software type of capability here. There's a lot more involved in this type of specification in the AIS specification, not that there aren't challenges with HPI. And it's taken a little bit longer to develop this complete set of services. We've gone now through that specification phase. We're well into that implementation phase with the latest set, the B.02 sets of specifications. It's interesting to note that we were, back in the 2005 timeframe, doing demonstrations at the Supercom shows of HPI and AIS capabilities working together inside products at that point in time. But one of the things that happened, and one of the most important things that we did at the beginning of 2006, was to recognize that clearly you have hardware platforms with the HPI interface implemented on them. You also now have implementations of high availability operating environments with the AIS specifications. And that in actual fact, we need to synchronize these set of specifications. There are dependencies and interrelationships that we need to take account for. And even in terms of implementing HPI, as Asif said, on terms of advanced TCA standards-based platforms that are out there. So we came out with the concept of consolidated sets of releases that will introduce new capabilities. And if we look at where we are today, in the next month or so, we will see the next set of specifications that will add enhancements to both the AIS specifications and to the HPI specifications. And again, they will be synchronized in terms of their compatibility. But one of the essential elements that the forum has put together, that as these specifications continue to evolve, we've locked in the concept of backwards compatibility. This is the way that people will be able to take implementations that they have today and migrate at some future point in time to the latest version of the specification with a guarantee that there's a level of backwards compatibility that means there's not significant rewrite of the applications. Because if we had that situation, then a lot of the work of the forum and a lot of the ability for ISVs, for example, to develop applications on top of these specifications will be lost from that perspective. So that's a very key element in terms of what the forum provides. So if we look at now where we're heading next and what are some of the new things that are coming in to the next set of specifications. Inside the HPI specification, there's a concept of firmware upgrade support. And we recognize that software management in general is a large area, a very complex body of work, particularly when you get to the application and the AIS set of specifications. And that's actively being worked on within the forum today. And HPI is the first area where we've got a standardized form of upgrade mechanism in the firmware space there. On the AIS side of things, we will be adding naming and timer services. There are diagnostics planned, there's security, there's additional capabilities. Again, software management will come into that area. So, lest anybody think that the work of the SA Forum is done, it's not. We really still have a lot of work left to do. There's a lot of additional services, capabilities. This is really only just the beginning of the adoption of the SA Forum specifications. So we're always actively seeking new members, and there's plenty of scope for new members to come along, bring in interesting contributions into many areas. So now we get to the next big initiative that we see, and this I think is a very, very important one. We see a lot of applications now moving, migrating, the use of Java increasingly for a lot of high availability types of applications, yet a lot of traditional C, C++ applications still existing there. One of the concepts that we really need as an industry as a whole, whether it's in the enterprise space or in the telecom space or defense and aerospace, is a common service availability framework that can operate in for multiple types of environments. And this is a new initiative that the forum is embarking on. We have some ideas in this area. It's a very complex capability, and we really need to take our time and work with a lot of different areas of the industry to make sure that we can create this unified mechanism. What we believe it will really bring tremendous benefit to the industry as a whole whether you happen to be on the Java application side or more on the traditional C, C++ programming application side. So that's a big initiative that we'll be working on in 2007 and beyond. So the next the next thing is interesting. So these are the results of our poll. I think it's very, very gratifying to see that the work of the forum is actually starting to generate interest and action amongst people that they're looking to implement these capabilities inside some of their products, whether it's HPI, whether it's AIS. That would be another interesting poll for another time. But I think it does show that a lot of the work of the forum over the last 5 years is now starting to yield results in the industry. Certainly, I think if we move on and take a look at things like HPI, that's now starting to become a de facto standard, whether it's in standards-based platforms, whether it's in more proprietary types of solutions, because of the kinds of flexibility that it offers. And we're starting to, I think, see that same level of interest with the AIS specifications. So we've just got a couple of examples here. This is one example that we have from Nortel, who essentially have leveraged a Motorola communications server platform. And inside this platform, they've used HPI as the mechanism for hardware platform management. The interesting point here, and the point I really want to make on this slide, is this is not just Motorola-developed hardware that's in this solution. There is third-party hardware. There are Intel Blades, for example, that are embedded into this solution. And again, because of the use of HPI as the common hardware platform management standard, and the use of other standards inside the advanced TCA specification, it's been very, very easy to incorporate these capabilities into this versatile service engine that Nortel has produced out into the marketplace. And for them, it saved them, and they've openly talked about saving a year in terms of time to market, and they expect this to continue as they use this platform in more and more applications. Again, as I talked earlier, we, Motorola, have this concept of a communication server platform where we integrate not only HPI but also the AIS, and we deliver this concept as an Avantelis communication server, one that's pre-integrated and verified as a complete environment that you can just buy off the shelf ready for high availability types of solutions. And some of the experiences that we've had in terms of this is there are, from the AMF specifications, there are all sorts of different models that you can have, all the typical ones you would expect to see, 2N probably, you know, a one-for-one backup capability being the most common. But from our experience, we see that the N-Way, you know, N-Way Active, N plus M, all these mechanisms are really necessary in order to provide the full range of flexibility that people want for the applications that they have in times of that. And again, we've done this with a number of applications there, demonstrated this at shows. It's now actually making its way in. So with that, I want to hand over to Asif, who's going to talk about some applications from Go Ahead.
Thank you, John. On the next slide, we have a very high-level pictorial view of the Go Ahead carrier grade application ready platform. And I'll spend a minute in describing what that is. Go Ahead has a software suite called the Self-Reliant. And there are three key elements to that product line. In addition to providing all of the high availability management capabilities, for example, the platform resource management, a variety of services like checkpointing, messaging, eventing, and other services, availability policies, and systems management interfaces, the company has a three-pronged strategy to continue to enhance the product. One is the use of HPI to provide hardware platform management capabilities. So Self-Reliant is HPI compliant, and it would work on any HPI compliant hardware except the hardware enumeration and provide the monitor and control capabilities that HPI offers. at the application layer, self-reliant has two. Traditionally, before the advent of AIS, Go had was providing proprietary interfaces for application developers. In the last couple of years, the company has shifted gears, and now the AIS interfaces have become available. So we do have versions of the AIS services that are a variety of our customers are testing, and the commercial version of the full AIS compliant that will be compliant with the consolidated the release that was issued February of this year will be available shortly. And the third piece of the strategy is to continue to work with the rest of the middleware ecosystem to make sure that third-party middleware components are well integrated with self-reliant so that the system integrators don't really have to put any effort into integrating and testing those components. So, for example, things like in-memory databases, protocol stacks, relational databases, and the like, the company has a roadmap of successively pre-integrating all those middleware pieces with self-reliant. The company, traditional market has been the telecommunication, but in the recent years, the company has seen significant traction in the military and aerospace. So, for example, companies like Lockheed Martin, Honeywell, and Astronautics are using self-reliant carrier-grade application-ready platform with the HPI interfaces and AIS services as part of their solutions. And manufacturing market is also picking up, and they're obviously reliability of manufacturing belts and the like are important. So they are looking at commercial off-the-shelf management middleware such as self-reliant to provide that. This is the next slide. This is just a very quick short list of some of the company's customers and partners. And it shows you the smattering of telecommunications and aerospace. It also shows that the company has partnerships, tight partnership with a variety of hardware platform vendors to make sure that the HPI integration is very well done, that not only provides HPI capabilities, but also any vendor differentiation that they would like to expose through a standard way is done as well. So the company is working with all major ATCA vendors to make sure that the pre-integration is done. And just a very quick overview of a couple of the case studies. Alcatel, about a year and a half ago, came to us and said that they were going to take their legacy base station controller and move it on to standard hardware, and also at that time take advantage of the standard interfaces, middleware interfaces that were out there. So they ended up using ATCA platform with our software running on it, and this is a legacy application they had written many years ago whose source code was not available, and so they wanted to actually make it highly available, and so the company was able to work with them to make it highly available and help Alcatel take advantage of the significantly higher speed, higher performance hardware using commercial off-the-shelf middleware for management capabilities. Similarly, OperaX has a bandwidth management capabilities and a quality of service application server, and OperaX has been selling primarily into telecom equipment manufacturers. And they came to us a while back and said that what they wanted to do was, again, use standard commercial off-the-shelf hardware as well as middleware and they were really concerned about their time to market. So they actually tell us that within 8 months they were able to go from concept to actually delivering to their customers. So that was actually very satisfying to hear comments from companies like Alcatel and OperX to say that they were able to significantly accelerate their time to market by using commercial off-the-shelf middleware, as well as hardware that actually took advantage of that middleware. And finally, Motorola networks, they've got several network elements. They traditionally have used homegrown hardware. They have recently decided to transition a lot of their network elements onto the ATCA platform. And John and John's unit is actually providing them with the ATCA hardware, and we're partnering with them to provide the self-reliant software that runs on that platform. It typically uses the HPI capabilities, and we're helping them to move on to the AIS services as well. Again, Motorola tells us that by using commercial off-the-shelf hardware and software, they were significantly able to improve their time to market, but perhaps equally importantly, saved a lot of development effort and redirect their resources on other value add. With this, I'll turn it back to Joe, and we can move to the next stage.
I believe, John, I think you're going to do the wrap-up, Mr. Canton.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thanks very much to Asif and John for the covering of HPI and AIS. In conclusion, I think we can see that the forum specifications are really a key foundation to building platforms based on open HA middleware, and really are the primary base for any form of open solution. The ability for HPI to provide that hardware independence does make them suitable for any hardware platform. And then as a whole, it creates opportunities for companies across many different facets of the industry with an aim of increasing the rapidity at which one can bring products to market at lower costs in terms of overall R&D, and then ultimately in the operating expense, easier and lower cost to maintain and support. As John had indicated, the specifications are available today, and implementations of products based on the forum specifications are also available. So overall, pretty good in terms of implementations there. At this point, I'd like to say thank you and hand over to Joe, who will wrap us up. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, John, and the other speakers. We've got a little time here to go through some questions. Some of them have been answered, and we'll put those kind of at the bottom of the list. Again, you can present a question by putting entering it in the question box on the lower left side of your screen. Also, when we finish the questions, we'll be bringing up a slide showing you how to retrieve the archive of the CCAST, which will be available in a couple hours. So the first question is, what are the detailed examples of how to make an SAF-aware application? Anyone care to comment on that?
I could possibly take that. This is Asif. There are two best sources for that. One is clearly is the specification itself from the SAF forum. And the second one is working with the vendors that are actually providing the AIS implementation. And typically they have guides and examples of how do you take your existing application and make it SA aware, or develop a new application using the AIS specifications. I believe this question is a lot more relevant to AIS. I believe the question was meant in that way.
Which leads to the next question. Will the forum publish guidance specifications for AIS similar to the HPI guidance specifications? Asif, do you want to comment on that?
Certainly. So the ATCA specification, the mapping specification from HPI to ATCA was published to make it easier for hardware vendors to take the HPI and implement it on their ATCA hardware. We've had some discussions within the forum to see what would make sense for us to develop some guidance like that for application development. Clearly, application is going to be hardware independent as far as AIS services are concerned. So we are discussing that, and we would welcome any input in terms of what sort of guidance would be helpful for people that are developing AIS implementations.
Yeah, perhaps I can just add a comment there. I mean, one of the active groups within the forum these days is the education subgroup. And they have done a lot of work in terms of explaining or attempting to explain what the specifications are, how they work. And in fact, now we've actually gone a step further. And the forum has actually, sort of endorsed some of the work in terms of training around the specifications and how to use them. And the University of Budapest actually has produced a training course which is commercially available, and I think the first presentation of this course is going to occur next week, where there is an SA Forum members meeting in Seattle, and there's going to be a seminar given by somebody from the University of Budapest on their curriculum and the work that they've done. So, you know, there are commercial things becoming available. There is a recognition within the forum that this is an important subject. I think, as Asif said, it's a very complex one, certainly in the AIS space. So it's a challenge to make it general enough so that it will cover everybody, but specific enough so that it's got some relevance to the type of application that somebody wants to implement.
Okay, thank you, John. Here's an interesting one. How does the HPI standard apply in micro-TCA applications? Are individual micro-TCA AMC modules considered to be separate hardware elements represented in the HPI framework? And how does HPI relate to the micro-TCA IPMB protocols? Anyone care to take a stab at that?
I can take a stab at that, Ms. Dossif. Let me take it from the reverse order. HPI does take advantage of the IPMI. So it does use the interface and does not try to replicate what IPMI actually does. As far as the enumeration of the micro TCA hardware is concerned, to the extent that a hardware element is uniquely identifiable through enumeration, HPI can actually serve up the information about any types of cards, whether those are micro TCA, ATCA, or the upcoming nano TCAs. It can actually enumerate those and serve those up to the management middleware.
Okay, thanks, Asif. Here's a question from Sun Microsystems that says, in a typical ATCA system, where does HPI and AIS run? On each blade or in the shelf managers only?
So I can kind of have a run at that. Clearly, you know, when we talk about all of these standards, we're really talking about distributed systems by their very nature. So elements of all these specifications can run, or probably are required to run, on all the blades. HPI may be something of a different animal because in an advanced TCA system, all the low-level hardware information is collected by the IPMB, the IPMI protocol that's specified from PCMIG. And really, you know, one way to think of HPI and one way I think of HPI as the central repository or the central interface from a management perspective for all those elements. But certainly when it comes to AIS, you need to have implementations or parts of the implementation on all the blades. And that will depend on how you've set up your clustering, you know, how you've set up your high availability framework, for example, in terms of where one element can be backed up to another one. So there's a lot of flexibility there, but it really is, you know, a distributed environment that all these things are designed to operate in.
And has a lot to do with how your hardware HA strategy is constructed.
Indeed.
Here's a question from a fellow at HP saying, is the SA Forum looking at requirements relating to real-time IMS in a all IP environment?
I'll answer that fairly quickly. You know, the forum itself is not really concerned with specific applications, and I class IMS as a specific set of applications in this particular context. Clearly, there are many members of the SA Forum who are implementing IMS, and I believe have tremendous interest in using SA Forum standards as the high availability basis for IMS-type implementations or aspects of IMS. Okay. The answer is no, not specifically, but yes, from a general perspective, in the specifications are designed to apply to a very broad range of applications.
Okay, thanks, John. Here's a question from a fellow at IBM who says, what is your plan to provide HPI guidelines for other hardware platforms than ATCA, for example, Blade Center?
So I'll take that, Asif. We have talked about that. We had a list of all of the different platforms that we want to be able to provide guidance. ATC has been done. Clearly, Blade Center is the next. We don't currently have a date from the forum point of view, but clearly that's the next candidate for which we need to write the specifications, guidance specifications.
Okay, thanks. We've got time for a couple more questions. Some we've sort of answered, but we'll quickly go through them again, perhaps short answers. What are the SA Forum's future specification plans?
So I hope we covered some of that inside the in the webinar today. I mean, clearly, you know, there are, and we recognize there are still a lot more services to do. From a short-term perspective, I think software management is recognized as a key area and a key requirement for standardization. As I said before, it's a very, very complex area. In the longer term, I think we believe this initiative around Java and providing a unified framework for high availability is a very interesting one, and one that could be of great benefit to the industry. So from a kind of short-term and a strategic perspective, I think those are the two main areas that we're working at. You know, we've got other services in the wings, certainly diagnostics capabilities, for example, and security is another service that we've looked at and we'll probably do some work on at the AIS level. And then there'll be extensions and enhancements to the HPI specification as well.
Okay, I'll try to run through these last ones quickly. Are commercial implementations of SAS specifications available today? Who are the suppliers? I think Asif has answered that. Go Ahead is a main supplier, so we'll move on. Here I'm going to combine a couple of questions, and you know, what are the benefits of membership, and if the work's already done, why would new members want to join at this stage?
Let me take that. As John mentioned, that there is a lot of work ahead. For example, the software management, he was very specific about that, software management capabilities of people that do development in the Java environment, security. Also, this whole area of systems management, we've been getting a lot of feedback from telecom equipment manufacturers that there are specific capabilities on the systems management side that would be very nice, if not critical, to have specifications for. So clearly, and there's a whole list of what we have traditionally called the work packages, and John mentioned a couple of those that we're working on, and there's a list of those that have to be done. So for the foreseeable future, there is a lot of new specification work that needs to get done, and Forum is always looking for new members to be able to contribute to those specifications.
Thank you, Asif. Here's one that just came in. Can anyone elaborate on this statement about more commercial and open source implementations are coming? Did anyone care to comment on that? And if that's confidential information,
I'll make a comment since I think I made the statement. So clearly, you know, you can see from the webinar there are people out there today who have commercial implementations, and those include Go Ahead and ourselves who are represented here today. But there are, you know, new members of the forum that we know, and since we've mentioned others, it's only fair to lay out the whole lot. There's Inea, the operating system company, has a high availability environment. They are now members of the forum and certainly are working in this particular area as well. There is a small company, I believe, based out of France called ESO, who has made an announcement about working in the high availability area. And clearly there's lots of work going on inside many companies to evaluate how to use the SA Forum specifications to implement high availability environments, whether they're working with commercial vendors or whether they're leveraging the open source projects that are available today. So there's a lot of activity inside the industry, a lot of interest, and we really are seeing a lot of uptake of the specifications, a lot of interest around AIS. I think HPI is really very much a done deal at this point in time.
Yeah, I would. Thank you, John. I would add to that from PCMIG's perspective, which I'm very involved with. It's being discussed by a great number of people on a great number of different levels. So we're about 10 minutes past the hour, and appreciate everyone's patience for staying on. If you're still there, I'd like to wrap this up with one last question, and then we'll go to the last slide. Why would I use SA Forum products when I have a perfectly good solution today?
Let me take that. This is Asif. It's a very, very good question. And really, in reality, in some cases, it may not make sense for equipment manufacturers to actually move on. They're satisfied with their implementation. Their customers are satisfied, and they've got a roadmap to do that. So in some cases, it may not make sense. In cases where it makes sense is when, if you look at the telecom industry, every 4 to 7 years, the telecom equipment manufacturers are faced with switching their hardware, upgrading it, you know, getting to more powerful hardware, new standards, Compaq PCI, ATCA on that spectrum are a couple of the examples. And so if you look at that, a lot of equipment manufacturers would say, okay, let me develop or acquire management middleware software that would allow me to move from hardware platform to hardware platform without having to reinvent the software, reintegrate, retest it. And furthermore, if I can actually get a commodity software from as a commercial off-the-shelf piece, why do I need to invest my resources in implementing something that's proprietary that I know in 4 to 7 years I'm going to have to re-gut and reinvent? That's an argument that actually resonates quite a bit with several equipment manufacturers, and that's the reason you want to do it. You want to one, save the investment in the middleware so you can reuse it as the platforms evolve, and really focus on the core value add, which is upstream in software, presumably in the application layer.
Good, yeah. I mean, I think the same things are going on the hardware level. People are seeing that open standards reduce their time to market, reduce their development cost, increase their flexibility, et cetera. And I think the same is true of software as of hardware. I want to thank the speakers today for their excellent presentations and their willingness to answer the questions that came in. As you can see in the slide in front of you, the archive of this event will be available in a couple hours at the URL that you see, opensystems-publishing.com/ecast. And if you want to make any comments about this event or future events and perhaps how to make them better, send us an email at ecast@opensystemspublishing.com. And with that, I'd again like to thank the presenters for the time they've put into developing these presentations and presenting them today. I think it was very informative, and I want to thank the audience for sticking with us as we ran a little after the hour. So with that, we'll close the event now. Thank you very much.